Hello, everybody. This is Amanda LOS, your navigator here today on Human Spirit Radio. I believe that everything we have and everything we experience is a sacred gift. It just requires shifting the lenses through which we see ourselves and the world around us. My mission here in this lifetime is to help all my relations to transform their pain into joy through the art and alchemy of spiritual composting. I'm a shamanic priestess teaching the living wisdom of the divine feminine, awakening forgotten traditions and supporting the birth and emergence of our conscious evolution. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey into stories of the sacred feminine for extraordinary women and men. Today, I am honored to have my sister, friend, hero, Penny Slinger, and I'd like to introduce her. Penny Slinger has pursued a life of art and dedication to the feminine. Born in England, her early work focused on freeing the feminine psyche from the confines of a Western cultural heritage. After she discovered Tantra in the 1970s, she co-wrote and illustrated Sexual Secrets, The Alchemy of Ecstasy, presenting the teachings of Tantra to the modern world. She lived in the Caribbean for 15 years. During this period, her art paid tribute to the indigenous way of life there. Penny moved to California in 1994. She has created two divination systems, the Secret Dakini Oracle and more recently the 64 Dakini Oracle, which offers initiation into the energy of 64 feminine wisdom archetypes. Penny is Reverend of the Goddess Temple in the Santa Cruz Mountains, where she focuses on liberation through truly transformative art. Penny, would you say hello to our audience?
Hello, good day, and so wonderful to be here sharing the sacred and very materially embodied messages for our time and awakening.
Aho. So I want to invite you all to twist your sacred space, whether it's an altar, a room where you meditate or go for sanctuary and restoration, someplace sacred outside, under a tree, in the sun, or simply claiming your own body and the immediate space that you take up around you as sacred. Take a moment to do that now. As you breathe in, call in all parts of yourself, the parts that have been pulled away in activities and conversations from the past and from the future. Invite yourself to be present now in this point in time and space, feeling above, feeling below, feeling within and without, the right and the left, the front and the back, all centered at your center, the Hara. Breathing into the center of your being and feeling that as the origin point of the universe, which it truly is, as in all things infinite, every point is the center. You bring yourself into your center, feeling the center, the origin of all things at the umbilical cord that you hold within your belly. Breathe into that belly. And start to tune in, feeling the roots grounding deep into the earth, extending through the bottom of your feet, through the base of your spine, wherever you're touching the earth, roots going deep, 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 holding you, allowing you to be as tall and big and expansive as you could possibly imagine, and still keeping you grounded, keeping you centered, feeling the living organism that holds you, the mother that holds you from the roots, feeling the pulsing of her heartbeat and the offering of her nourishment, her embrace, and draw it up into your body, into the center of your being, and now opening up the crown, reaching energetic branches, the part of the self that strives for better understanding, more love, more wisdom, more connection, a better prayer, guidance from our guides, our allies, our ancestors, our ascended masters. Feel those branches reaching upward and draw down that illumination, that inspiration available right now, coming into balance and connecting with that rooted, grounded energy of the mother. And we now enter into the temple of the goddess of compassion. Seeing, feeling, tasting, smelling the violet, the lavender, the violet flame that surrounds you, that does not burn, clears away everything that is not your highest self, clearing away all illusion, clearing away all wounding. This sacred flame, this violet flame, is a gentle, powerful release of everything that no longer serves you, everything that doesn't belong to you, everything that is not you in your highest and best. Feel that flame as you breathe in, moving inward to the cells, the tiniest energetic particles of your being. Feel that flame moving outward to all of your existences, past, present, future, in all dimensions, in all forms, moving through the energetic umbilicus, connecting with all of the generations past and future, all of your relations, all of the karmas that have been created in future. Feel yourself completely saturated with this violet flame. What does it smell like? What does it taste like? What does it feel like? Can you hear it? Let it take over. You feel a lightness. Any old stories of not good enough, any old stories of victimhood or perpetrator, dissolve. Any heavy mantles that you've carried around for lifetimes are lifted. And tears of humble gratitude. How good it feels to be relieved. And as you start to ask, how could I possibly be worthy of such absolution, of such grace, of such lightness, and unconditional joy and love in my being? The answer comes quickly. This is all there is. Everything else is an illusion. Allow yourself to breathe in this absolution. All the wish I had of, all the would've, could've, should've, all of the projections of yourself onto others, all of the projections of others onto you, judgments, labels, blame. The they are gone. They have disappeared. They have dissolved. All that exists is this deep sense of clarity, freedom, deep sense of joy, deep sense of love that liberates. And I invite you to stay here in this temple as we share stories, real human experiences, embodiments of and visitations from the sacred feminine goddess of compassion. My first encounter, real conscious encounter with the goddess of compassion came to me as I was moving through an intense, traumatic breakup. My beloved, was destroying my life. Everything that I had thought was real was falling apart. The person that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, madly in love with, was now someone that I feared. He was destroying our home. It was no longer safe to be around him. And it would have been easy, it would have been really easy for me to tell myself that this experience was something that was going to affect me and cause me pain and suffering for the rest of my life. I had panic attacks. My beloved had become addicted to methamphetamines, and he was no longer him. He was somebody I did not know anymore. And prayer, my prayers and my pleas for help to support him in getting the help that he needed were not successful. And on Valentine's Day, over a decade ago, I was in court fighting for a restraining order against the man that I had once loved with all of my heart. Like I said, I had panic attacks. It was horrible. Finally being able to return to my home after he had been there destroying everything. He had literally created toxic waste in our home. And just to have all of the damage, all of the garbage, and all of the toxic waste that he had created was an enormous sum of money. I was just barely starting to tune into the sacred feminine, barely tuning into meditation and yoga. Thank goddess I had these practices in my life because they kept me sane. They kept me centered. They kept me tuning into source for guidance on how to proceed rather than reacting in fear. Now that is another goddess of destruction of illusion, and we'll get to later. But she's a dear sister of the goddess of compassion, Kali, the goddess of birth, life, and death. She is a very close sister and ally of the goddess of compassion. They are often, I have found, one and the same. But what really was the most potent in all of this I was starting to learn directly just through opening my mind and opening my heart and asking, how do I deal with this? How do I respond? And getting the messages loud and clear, that initiation of that sacred relationship, that powerful guidance that got me through, was life-saving. I'm quite certain it saved my life. But the biggest piece that the Goddess of Compassion offered as she spoke to my heart was that it was imperative for me, once I was complete in taking care of myself and making sure that I was grounded and safe and stable and nurturing myself, that the very first thing I needed to do was focusing on completely forgiving any judgments, any anger, any blame that I had against my husband. Like I said, it's easy to have an experience like this of domestic violence, of pain caused by somebody else that we feel haunted by, and yet keeping, like what I found was keeping this, any idea of holding on to this story of I was victimized felt very heavy. And I got to see really clearly, like at one point in a meditation, the Goddess of Compassion showed me that when I tried to, the act of justifying my feelings of being a victim, of being angry, of being judgmental, of not wanting to let go of a story of blame, by not wanting to let go of a story that's stuck in a cause and effect and a victim and a perpetrator, that justification, that act of justifying my actions was basically me creating an excuse to keep myself small, to keep myself in jail, to keep myself stuck in a story that did not serve me in any way whatsoever. The word justification, and every time I found myself since trying to justify my behaviors, my thoughts, my actions, my feelings, has been like now, because of the Goddess of Compassion, Tara Kuan Yin, coming directly in and showing me. I can't even explain how she showed me, because it was in this beyond human sensory experience, but this, she showed me how that justification is a prison. It's a mental prison, most of all, because we use it in our minds. We use justification in our minds to stay stuck. And how important it is to create the liberation of ourselves by letting go of those judgments, by letting go of those justifications. And what that also, what she showed me, what that also required was complete forgiveness for everybody, for everything, personal, not personal, including myself. She told me, she showed me, just like Kali is the liberator, is the great liberator, Tara Kuan Yin showed me forgiveness is this gentle liberation, and it requires, you can't just liberate yourself, you can't just free yourself from being a victim and still hold somebody else as the perpetrator. If you're going to free yourself from being a victim, you have to forgive. So she showed me that so strongly. And later on, you know, actually it was really crazy, because in that moment it was very easy for me to forgive my husband. It was so easy. I saw that that his behavior was being impacted by the drugs. That was his choice. It was his choice to take them. But I didn't take his actions at all personally. I knew that the real him, his highest self, really loved me and cared for me and would have never, ever wanted to cause me any kind of pain or suffering. And so that particular experience was actually very easy. But years later, during another breakup that involved a pretty conscious human being who betrayed me on every single level I could imagine, oh my goodness, that was insanely painful. And, you know, I did find myself wanting to tell the story to my friends and get them to jump on board with what a terrible, you know, how terrible I had been treated and what a bad person this man was. And I started to, you know, and they agreed with me. Nobody disagreed with me. You know, I was justified. I was very justified in my feelings. Even his close friends totally agreed with me. And I caught myself one day. The goddess of compassion came in again, and she said, "You need to let this go. You can't continue to justify, to tell the story to yourself, to anybody else, and continue to stay stuck blaming this man and focusing on what he's done that's so bad and so wrong. You have to let or go, or you will never be free. And you need to make this your number one priority." And forgiving him, releasing it. So a year had passed, and I was actually still in a lot of pain. It triggered more core wounding and more insecurities and more sadness and all kinds of negative feelings than any other relationship breakup in my life, even though that previous one with my husband was traumatizing. I didn't take it personally, but this one, oh my God, it felt like such a personal attack. It was so painful. But a year later, I was at a party talking with a woman, a random stranger. She was in a bunch of heartache about a breakup. And I was starting to do some coaching around difficult breakups because I had found my way through. At least I felt I had found my way through. And I looked over while I was talking to her, and off, not too far in the distance, was this man who had hurt me so much. And he was there with the woman that he cheated on me with. And I knew in that moment I needed to act. And so I asked the woman I was talking with to just wait. And I went over and I tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around and he looked absolutely horrified. I was like the last person that he wanted to see, and I could see that he was very aware, at least on some level, of what he had done, and he was horrified that I was gonna, I don't know, face him with it in some way. And I just softened my heart. I consciously took a deep breath in. I opened up my heart. I opened up the contractions in my body and myself. I called in love and compassion. And this thing, this experience, this ceremony that I had done many times in my meditation and in my spiritual prayer practices to offer him forgiveness, I did right in front of him live. And I told him that I was doing great. I told him that I hoped he was doing well, and that I didn't hold anything over him. And he just started bawling, and I could tell that he wanted me to hug him. So I offered to, and he didn't even respond. He just like grabbed onto me and held on, and I could just feel so much being released through both of us, through our hearts. I could feel so much of my own pain and my own insecurities, my own sorrow, my own suffering leaving my body. And just like yes, let's both be free of this. And I just felt this wave, this violet, I felt the violet flame pouring through and washing us both clean. And my ego was observing this, like, he does not deserve that. He doesn't deserve that. What are you doing? And it was like, yeah, ego, I understand. You like justification. But what really serves my spirit is to be free. And what serves my spirit is to let him be free too. Oh, such a relief. Another piece that I failed to mention was that I actually had the opportunity to do that with my husband, the one who had been addicted to methamphetamines, and I was able to come face to face with him and offer him the same absolution of, you know, I'm doing great. I hope you're doing well. I wish you the best. I don't hold any blame, anything, you know, it's a clean slate. And he was not able to take it in, but it didn't matter. Like, it was offered, it was there. And I feel often now when I think back to both of those relationships, there's no charge anymore. There is zero pain and suffering that comes up, zero sense of grief and loss, because I allowed myself to do the grieving that I needed to do. I allowed myself to do all of that and take care of myself, and then I focused on liberating all myself and everybody else involved. And now anytime I have an experience in my life where there's something that feels off, whether it's a minor, you know, a little tiny conversation or something big where I feel like I've been lied to or I've been betrayed or I've been treated in a way that's not kind or not fair, if I don't have the opportunity to lovingly approach that person with the intent of coming to a place of complete forgiveness and letting go, I sit at my altar and I do the Ho'oponopono practice, which I've shared before. But before I come to completion with my story, I wanted to share with you all what it is, because it is the human superpower tool that the goddess of compassion has offered us in this time. And I'm actually using it every single day right now at my altar. I use it for myself, for anybody who's ever done me harm, and for anybody I've ever caused any harm to. Every single day I offer this practice, and I also do a separate Ho'oponopono practice right now for all harm caused because of ethnic origin or skin color, because I live in an area where that comes up a lot, where there's violence against people because of their ethnic origin and their skin color, and I don't know what else to do, but I find that it creates a great sense of peace in my heart that other people around me are having kind of a miraculous response to. So the Ho'oponopono is, as I said, it's a tool of making miracles happen in the realms of forgiveness and absolution and liberation of the soul. So the four steps of the Ho'oponopono, I like to sit in my sacred space. I like to call in all of my guides and allies. I like to light a candle. I like to also make some kind of offering like incense. And then the four steps are, the first one is to say, I'm so sorry, on behalf of all sides, for all reasons, from all perspectives, I'm sorry. The second step is to say, please forgive me. Please liberate us. Please liberate all beings who are involved in this. Please forgive me. The third step is to say, I love you. Again, from as many different perspectives and for as many different reasons as you can possibly imagine. And then the fourth step is to say thank you. And saying thank you from the perspective that this healing has happened. Thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing this healing to happen. Thank you for this opportunity to connect. Thank you for this opportunity to be in this sacred healing ceremony together. And that's it. It doesn't have to take more than even just a minute, but I do it every day. And I can't tell you, since I've started, and any other time that I've used Ho'oponopono practice, people have an astounding response. I've had relationships with people who had refused to talk to me and had purposely been going out of their way to try to make my life miserable, after a year of doing this practice, turn around and say, "I'm so sorry. I can't believe that I treated you that way. Please forgive me," and do everything they can to make it up to me. I've heard miraculous stories from my students, my clients, and total strangers. So I want to share that with you and say thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for all of the Ascended Masters who come in and are doing such powerful work to help human beings to let go of the wounds that we've carried. It's such a powerful experience. So I bring my story to a close, and for all my relations, I say Ho Matakriasi and turn the time over to you, Penny.
Thank you, Mao. So much. I don't know if everyone else who's listening feels all these reflections in the mirror of their mind, the mirror of their heart, finding their own circumstances which key in to some of these major, major points. I came here like an empty vessel today, not knowing what would come through, for the goddess of compassion, the whole frequency of compassion, is such a major, I would say, the master frequency for our times now, to rediscover, to reignite, to cultivate and nurture the seeds of compassion in our hearts and our beings until they take over our whole way of being and interacting with every other form of life and every cell in our body. Compassion is the master frequency. And this has revealed itself to me in so many different ways, in so many instances of experience, direct experience in life, my own personal experiences, those times, like the ones you were talking about, Amanda, where you are just opened up, your heart is ripped open and shredded, and often from relationships and the breakdown of relationships. And so where to start? So many things are triggered, and in this deep well of compassion just bubbling under the surface, longing to come up and whisper in your ear how can work, how compassion is an action memo for living, for connecting. Compassion is the connective tissue that unites all beings. And I think anyone who is coming into awareness now, you know, we've been asleep for a long time due to the programming of a system which hasn't been built on compassion. It's been built on power and domination and all these things which really have no lasting value. But compassion itself, that connection, not only connects all beings in this material plane, but it connects all beings, all entities throughout time and space. Compassion is the language of the heart. Compassion is the wisdom of the heart in action, for it promotes all these wonderful things that you were talking about, Amanda, the wisdom of forgiveness, the wisdom of letting go all that holds you tight in those separate egocentric tunnels that we've been burrowed into. And There's so many ways that you can make this work for you, but I think that the main thing is for all of us now to say, I take on compassion as my mantle, as my modus operandi in this world. Compassion, not power, not glory, compassion is what is going to dictate how I interact with all life and all being in myself and in the others I encounter and in my connection to the spiritual world. And to talk about a little bit of direct experience here, for there's so many in this map of light that has mapped my soul into a new configuration and alignment which has healed me when I felt unhealable. And one time I'll go back to the early 90s when I was experiencing a reflection here of one of the most deepest experiences of relationship in my life, and it was falling apart. And in fact, I was living in the house, if people can put themselves in this position for a moment and understand how it feels, because empathy is, you know, a very useful sister for compassion, because if we can feel compassion, if we can feel empathy, we can begin to not just feel how we feel, but be able to extend that sense of self beyond our own boundaries and to be able to feel as others feel. And so at this time, I was living in a house and my beloved now had another partner there, and it was meant to be a situation where we would all live and love together, but it didn't work out quite like that. And I thought we were seeing things in the same way, but we weren't. And this gentleman was rather addicted to the power side of the equation. And although one of the greatest practitioners and most knowledgeable and able to channel these tantric wonders and taught me so much with my guru in these realms, yet at the same time, even that greatest tool, if it's not completely tempered and just imbued with compassion, I believe it's a useless tool as anything else is now. Compassion has to be key and central to everything. So in this house, he was in the master bedroom with his new liaison. We couldn't stay together, all three of us. It didn't work out like that. And I was off in the other room, and I would lie awake at night, sleepless, questioning, who am I? Why is this? Have I any value? Why do I feel so completely worthless and desolate? And my life has no meaning. I have no meaning. I could be cast aside by this person who I love so deeply. What can I do? And in the deepest, darkest night of my soul, the dark night of the soul, that was it. I'm lying there, I'm listening to them making love in the other room, because we had rather thin teak walls in this beautiful Thai house we were living in. But I could hear them, and I was separate, and I felt so separate. And I didn't understand it. I thought it would be as one, but I was left out in the cold. And I was also feeling so desperate, because I thought, because this person had taught me so much about Tantra and been my connection to that, that by my separation from him, that I was then separate from Source somehow, that I no longer had this connection to this wonderful spiritual divine realm that Tantra had opened up to me. And so I was crying in the night. My soul was just wrenched open, and then the goddess of compassion in the form of Kali Ma came to me, and that's when I really saw her too, so completely, how this goddess that many fear and misunderstand, thinking that she with her scimitar, wielding, cutting off heads, and with heads all bedecking her around her neck, and being so fierce, was somehow not compassionate. But this is the myth and the illusion, for she is compassion itself. For, you know, it takes a huge, huge goddess to be able to be so compassionate that it can hold all time. She can hold life, death, everything, because of the power of her compassion. And she that night took compassion on me. She heard me call, and she came to me, and I saw her, and there are no words that can describe that union, that way that all that sense of separation was washed away in that moment of divine participation, and in that knowing that I was not cut off for one second from Source, that she and I were one, that she had heard my calls, and she had come down to me to be with me in my darkest hour. And the strength of that was so profound. That was the biggest healing I could imagine, for then I could deal with anything. Then the little human drama seemed just that little. And I could laugh. I could laugh with Kali at all the battlefields, at all the times coming and going of life and death. All of it seemed very small in light of this giant compassion that embraced me in Kali's dark embrace, in her arms, in her eyes, in her heart. And that is the secret, too, of Kuan Yin, the goddess of compassion, who again has come many times. She looked back, looked down from entering heaven and her complete peace and unity with just divine peace and presence. She heard the calls of the suffering as she was ascending, and hearing those calls, she looked back down and she felt that compassion as the bridge, as that which connected her to all beings. And so that is the great gift of the goddess of compassion, whether she's dark and black as night like Kali, or white and luminous as the pearl like Kuan Yin. The light, the dark, in all of it is this profound compassion which unites everything. And so from this direct experience which healed me, it still was a long time before, after that separation from my beloved, who I thought was the beloved for me, that I could really heal. And when I came to New York, and I was working there on a film I was doing and trying to heal from my wounds, because my beloved was back where we'd been living in the islands with the other lady. And I was still hurting, even though I had strength and power to carry on my life because of this wonderful visitation which made me feel connected. But still, these things run deep. You know, when you unite with another person, much of your whole being interconnects like threads coming from your solar plexus, which wraps around them, and their threads wraps around you. And those threads are tough. You know, they're subtle, but they're stronger than steel. And so there's that unraveling, that work, that compassion in action, which one needs to take on and fully work with one's whole being to make oneself this reflection of the goddess of compassion, which is there to heal you. Now you need to take this on, or this is what I understood, and I still understand, and I stand by that. Take on these qualities in oneself so that you can not only receive, but also give of this compassion, because it is a two-way street always. And the joy for Kuan Yin is that she hears your calls, but then she knows that she can help you. And in helping you with her compassion, she receives all that joy of healing back to her. So this two-way flow with the divine is always ongoing. And that's why it's always worth calling to. You can call. You can call the great divine beings, love to be called. Their compassion is rewarded like that. So in this time when I was still healing, I had the fortune to meet a healer who had been trained in Hawaiian traditions, and he offered me this healing ceremony, which I undertook with great, not only gusto, but intensity and commitment to. And I do believe that we need to commit to things very fully in order to make them happen. And he told me to do this, evoke all the hurts in one's life. So I had to go through my life and remember all the people that I'd hurt, all those who had hurt me. And not just to, oh yeah, that one hurt me, but to go deeply into these places and to relive those hurts in the moment, bring them back. Feel them. Feel them with every fiber of your being, for it's only really owning them, really allowing yourself to feel, because, you know, we've been trained not to be compassionate. We've been trained to be kind of numb in this society because, as I said earlier, it's built on principles that are not compassionate. So we have to relearn how to feel, and to do that, it means breaking our hearts open. So I went into this really fully, and I had to remember everyone that I'd been intimate with and all those hurts. So I took this on as a practice, and I literally stayed in bed for a couple of weeks going over all this deeply, deeply bringing up each thing. And when the hurt was felt and recognized and acknowledged, then came the forgiveness. So the forgiving yourself, you forgive the other person involved in this drama, and then you send love to it, and then you release it by, I free you, I free you, I free you. Mm-hmm. And that freeing, as Amanda was saying, frees you. You know, it's an act of compassion. But it's not only an act of compassion towards the other being. It's an act of compassion towards yourself. Because as we hold on to all these hurts, they lodge in our being like hard, rocky nuggets of intractable hurts, which in fact turn into dis-ease, to sickness. And if we really look inside our bodies and our minds and our hearts and our souls, we can track down all sickness to these kinds of hurts that have not been released. So it's such a beneficial thing. And in that process, I went through everything of my life up to now. And then the biggest one, of course, was to release everything around this relationship, which had just broken up and was most long-term and most raw. And I found I needed to do a ceremony for that. It couldn't just be done there, lying in bed. And I went up to a medicine land, and I did a ceremony where I burnt all the things, wrote them all on a paper, and then cast them into the fire, all the things that no longer served me from that relationship. All the attachments, all that clung, I ritually burnt those. I didn't let go of all the things that were good and pure, because everything has that as well as the other. And you don't want to lose all the good things. Take the best and leave the rest. So I did the ceremony and then was told to look for a sign. And I sat under this tree meditating after. And then suddenly I heard this big snort. And I looked up, and there was this giant stag leaping and snorting. And I knew it was all good. And the deer, the medicine animal, you know, he's the messenger, the intermediary, and brings such healing and compassionate medicine. So that was the story of that. And it had one more chapter, too. That partner passed away just a few years back now. And at the time of his passing, I felt his spirit, and I knew he was having a hard time crossing over, because there were a lot of things, not only in the relationship with me, but with other relationships and other things in his life that had not been really done from a compassionate point of view, but more from the power. But at that time of his crossing, feeling his pain, my compassionate goddess came through and said, okay, now it's time for the next level of releasing and forgiving and healing, and to offer all those good things that were given me to his spirit now, to close him in this crossing, to give him the light that he needs now to transcend all this darkness. And so I did. And so it was. And so I felt the release. And all that we can give is totally transcendent. It is not limited to time and space. Compassion is the master frequency which crosses realms and clothes the soul. And in this world now, compassion we need to distill, to alchemize our beings with this wonderful tincture of compassion, and cleanse ourselves through and through with the waters of compassion, one tear from the eye of Tara, from Kuan Yin, cleanses a myriad of sins of DNA encoded darkness. All of this can be transmuted with this compassionate tincture, and it is our way of connecting with everything. So the goddess calls us now, the compassionate goddess calls us to remember that we are connected to everything, and to remember all our fellow beings on this planet, all the creatures, and to feel their suffering. Even if it hurts us, we have to feel it, because that is the nature of empathy and compassion. It's the doorway, and it's the doorway for your immortal soul to find its grace and to offer and share it with all that is. Jai Ma.
Jai Ma. Thank you so much, Penny. Just so much of your prayer is my prayer too. And I was thinking about the shadow, the way that the shadow parts of the goddess of compassion can show up inside of us is when we take on other people's burdens in a way that it's not helpful for them, and it's overwhelming for us, you know, being a martyr in a way that, you know, what message came to me is that the reason the ascended masters are ascended masters is because they can take on our burdens and they can help us. They are the ones that offer us absolution. You know, they literally come in and they are that violet flame that take out that energetic heaviness. And I think a lot of us, often through old messages that we're not worthy, we have to be people pleasers, we try to take on other people's energetic challenges. And oftentimes it doesn't actually relieve that other person. It just spreads it onto us. So the message that I got is that the human way to embody compassion is to let go of our judgments, our blame, our victimhood, our self-blame, our projections, our self-righteousness. It's not necessarily always helpful to take on something that isn't ours. One quick experience I had with a woman who was very triggered. She was a woman of color, and she was very triggered. We were in a workshop that was very triggering, and just kind of for no real reason, something that she had just kind of made up in her mind, she was very upset at me and needed to tell me about it. And I don't often have actual visions. I have a sixth sense experience, but this was, I had a literal vision. I could see her spirit coming to me and handing me her bundle of pain and handed it to me. And her spirit said, I know that you can do something good with this. And so I did actually accept it, because in that moment I could see that there was a bigger piece that I was able to consciously deal with. And I came home and it was painful, but I actually metabolized it. I couldn't even tell you how I did it, because it was guided by spirit, but I metabolized that and let it go. And the shadow piece of the goddess of compassion that I've realized, especially from that experience, is that when somebody does something to us that pisses us off, that hurts us, that triggers our fear, triggers old wounds, again, we're justified in lashing back, or we get in a really bad way and then we pass it forward, and then we want to say, well, I was in a bad mood, or I was having a really bad day. So we justify it. And the human way of dealing with that, of choosing to really embody the compassion, is to find a way to metabolize it, like crying. I think I did a lot of crying, writing about it, talking about it to somebody who's not going to reflect to you that you should be justified about being mad, but somebody who can just hold an empty present space while you let it out of your system, or doing what Penny did, like writing it down and burning it, you know, but metabolizing it, meaning letting it go in a way that doesn't pass it forward and doesn't volley it back. And again, letting go of all of those judgments, those blame stories. Compassion, true human, the human way of offering compassion is holding a presence of complete worthiness and loving kindness for all the people we engage with, and not allowing ourselves to be taken for granted or wearing ourselves out or being of service to the point of being a detriment to ourselves. You know, like none of that, a lot of that we often, especially women, take on because we think that that's compassion. But then we're leaving ourselves out of the equation, and that's not okay. We need to be loving and kind with ourselves. And the last piece that came through for me is that we can't, if we're really going to be committed to the path of embodying compassion, we can't pick and choose who we offer that to. So that person that cut us off on the freeway, you know, my instant reaction is usually some kind of swear word, but I try to say, okay, I'm sorry. I bless you. You know, I love you. World leaders who we believe are causing damage to our economy, our environment, our health, the future of our children, you know, whatever it is, no matter how personal or how on what grand or small a scale, how far removed, it doesn't matter. If we really want to be human embodiments of compassion, we have to offer it to everybody. And that is really the true way of healing the world, is healing all of the reflections of it within ourselves. We can only clean up our own particular origin point of the universe. We can only clean up our own particular origin point of the hologram. And as soon as we do that, we start reflecting it out there, and it magnifies out, and it's way more potent than you could ever imagine. Oh, well, that's that was a big one.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to add, Penny, before we come to a close?
I think really, you know, just to, I agree with what you say, and, you know, it's not, the old martyr trips don't need to be here. And forgiving doesn't mean forgetting, because we also need to exercise that discernment. Otherwise,
yeah,
we keep going in the same way and repeating, going on the same loop over and over again, same drama, different characters acting it out.
Absolutely.
So one forgives,
yeah,
but one also gleans the wisdom of the experience as well. So this is a subtle thing, and it's nothing to do with judgment. You see, people get muddled up and think that, well, you can't be discerning, that that's to do with judgment. It's not. You can be totally discerning without judgment, because you're just imbuing everything with that basic power that you bring to every situation, the power of compassion, because
Absolutely.
It is our master frequency, and everyone can own that. You don't have to be super intelligent. You don't have to be super anything. You just have to be prepared to open your heart to what you really feel. And the heart is so vast. You know, we don't need to limit it as we have into some kind of realms of sentiment and all those kind of dramas, but it's that bigger picture that the heart actually allows us to access, because once we get into the bigger picture, everything else diminishes in terms of that. And plus, the really important factor, we just undo that myth of separation, which is the greatest cause of suffering for all the realms.
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't mean people aren't held accountable or expected
right.
to be responsible for their behavior, you know, but there's a difference between that and thinking about, like, punishment. Like, I've just been thinking about the justice system, you know, punishment versus restorative justice, which focuses on healing. And when there's, you know, been damage done, to what can be done to repair it, you know, focusing on making love, making connection, making healing happen, rather than punishment, judgment, separation, as you said. So, wow. So much.
Because when you see it, you know, we don't need to be the hand of the law meting out punishment, because if you believe in karma and the laws of cause and effect, it will take care of itself. You don't need to do anything. The divine behind everything, it just happens that way. And it's not like punishment in the old sense. It's just like, as you reap, you will reap as you sow. And so you know that when someone is doing something that is not coming from the highest point in themselves and it is creating hurt, you know, I try to live by a non-hurt philosophy of life, because you know when you create that hurt, it will somewhere along the line, and it needn't even be today, tomorrow, this lifetime, but it will come back to you. So the compassionate way, the way of being compassionate to yourself, is by acting out of that kindness and lovingness to yourself and to all that you encounter. Because isn't that what you want to have come back to you?
Mm-hmm. Aho. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Thank you so much. And as we come to a close, Penny, really one other thing that's come through so strongly is just, in the times that you and I have been able to spend together, I've really witnessed you truly embodying the compassion that you talk about. And so I just want to witness you in front of, you know, everyone who can hear this broadcast, that I really see you walking your talk and how important that is. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Reflect.
So, thank you. So, the Sacred Feminine, I'm going to just let people know how they can connect with each of us. And for me, my Sacred Feminine work has really gone to, it's kind of going all by itself, and so I don't really advertise it so much. But truly, these monthly free broadcasts are gold to me. Like, they're some of the best that I have to offer other than becoming a part of my Living Wisdom School, which right now is full for the next 13 months. So, but the other work that I do in the world is that I help professional women who are fed up, are struggling with not feeling valued in their job, and they're, you know, they're feeling chained to a desk, not doing work that they're passionate about. They, deep down, they feel like there are gifts and something big that they're supposed to be doing in the world, and those gifts aren't shining, and they're not doing the thing they know their soul is calling them to do. But usually fear around money or fear around what could I do that would be different keeps them trapped. And so I'm helping women who want to liberate themselves from that stuck, you know, being stuck, keeping themselves from what they really, really know that their soul needs to do. I help them. And so I would like to offer to the all those in our audience, it's a $250 value, but I want to offer, it's an hour with me on the phone. It's called Breakthrough Your J-O-B Discovery Session, and you can click on to my website, Amanda Eloesh, AmandaEloesh, AmandaEloesh.com, and click on It's First Come, First Served, so they go, you know, there are only so many available, so get on there and claim your session. I can't wait to help you out. And Penny, how can our guests connect with you?
Yes, well, on Facebook, Penny Slinger, I'm there. And my website, pennyslinger.com, has my art. And again, through, to come to 64dakinioracle.org to get the direct transmission from the Dakinis who have communicated with me and will definitely communicate with you if you consult and ask them. So please use these tools as because they're there for this time and to help you to tune into your potential and realize whatever your particular unique piece is in this wonderful mystery of evolution that we just have to unfold right now.
Oh, yeah. And yes, get on there. It's the number 64 Dakini Oracle. And I highly recommend tuning into Penny's offerings. They've changed my life. So next month we will be tuning into stories of the priestess. And hopefully you'll be able to join us again, Penny. And you can now enjoy Human Spirit Radio Network broadcast 4 times each month, the first, third, and fourth Fridays of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific, and the last Saturday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific. Here's the lineup. The first Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific is Waking Gods and Goddesses, Embodying Divine Wisdom and the Sensual Life with host Maria West. Maria's new month series, 15-month series, just started and is based on her new book, Ask Wide Open. It's amazing. The third Friday of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific is Human Spirit Radio with founder and our host, Sarah McCroskey. The fourth Friday of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific, Stories of the Sacred Feminine Archetypes with yours truly, Amanda Eloesh. And this new series began just recently in January, and I'll be sharing and exploring the myths and the true stories of direct communion and embodiment with 13 sacred feminine archetypes. The last Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific is Whole and Balanced Energy Medicine and Your Health with, again, our host and founder, Sarah McCroskey. All broadcasts are archived for your listening convenience. To peruse past broadcasts or listen to a specific show, go to www.humanspiritradio.com and click on the audio archives header, then scroll down and select an episode. You can subscribe to broadcasts free through iTunes, and you can receive a beautiful email announcement just twice monthly of upcoming broadcasts by joining our mailing list. See the link under blog roll on humanspiritradio.com. And if you enjoy our free and commercial-free broadcasts and want to share your appreciation, feel free to like us on Facebook. Follow our Twitter feed. It's three words, Human Spirit Sing. That's our Twitter handle. And make a donation through our website. Human Spirit Radio is now a vibrant worldwide community thanks to you. And thank you, Penny. And thank you, everyone, for showing up.
Jai Ma.
Jai Ma.